Hello everyone, my name is Kunal Rao Mokirala. For somebody who is not an accountant, somebody who is just an everyday person, can they really understand what a balance sheet is? I believe you can. Hopefully my podcast will help you do that. So to break down the balance sheet and give you the most simplest overview of what it is like and give you three most important lines in the balance sheet and why. So to start with, I would say the three most important compartments simply breaks down to assets, liabilities, and shareholders' equity. So when you look at the balance sheet, it's actually a snapshot of what the company owes, what the company owns, and what it's worth at that particular time. So if you pick today, which is May 4th, then the balance sheet of your company A would have all those items listed in that. So assets are simply things that generate money for the company, whether it's a products, whether it's inventory, whether it's physical building you're working in, all these different aspects that you can really dive into. And liabilities is what you owe people. So when you buy things, you order stuff, you wait for 30 days, 60 days or 90 days, whatever it might be, or whatever your contract is to pay those back. Those are liabilities because those are the monies that you have to give back to someone for the products or the service that you've purchased or they're rendered. And then shareholders' equity. That obviously is what the equity of the company is worth. And all those things will add up to balance sheet. And now when you look at the balance sheet, the first things you're going to see are different assets that include cash and cash equivalents, and all the other assets that you have mentioned before. And in the next section, you'll have liabilities, and that's again the all the stuff that you owe people. And right below that, you'll see the shareholders' equity. And the reason why we have to call it a balance sheet is because assets have to match liabilities. Those two sections, even though those are three, the three which I mentioned earlier, assets, liabilities, and shareholders' equity, even though there are three parts, the two sections which are liabilities and assets, those have to match each other. Only then it's a balance sheet, and that's how you see it's balanced if those two match. And now there are obviously some very specific things now you can look into under balance sheet, under the assets, under the liabilities, and under the shareholders' equity. And today, I'm going to give you a snapshot of how that works, and so that when you look at a balance sheet, those are really the three main items that you're looking for: what a company is, what their assets are, and how good that company is, and how good that company is making money for the liabilities, and what do they owe, and who do they owe, and stuff like that. So in shareholders' equity, how much is a company worth? So that's really kind of how it breaks down. So basically what I'm trying to say is that all that shareholders' equity is the difference between your assets and your liabilities. So if you have more assets than your liabilities, then you have a positive shareholders' equity. And the value of the rest of the world, you'll hear shareholders' equity is also referred to as book value. So a big way that you can think about shareholders' equity, if it's really about assets minus liabilities, then it's the same as regular person who has assets and liabilities. And in that sense, the difference between your assets and or your liabilities is your net worth, basically. When I put that connection, that shareholders' equity kind of really tells you what the net worth of a company is. Obviously, it's not as simple as saying that's the valuation, that's what the company is worth. There's more to that, but for the basic premise, you can say that it's the company worth. If the company were to completely, let's say tomorrow, all of a sudden it shut down, and if it had to give back all the money to its owners, all the money to its shareholders, and if the company had to liquidate the assets and the dividends to pay off the liabilities, what you would have is left to the shareholders' equity, and that would be the value of the business, and that would be the goodwill if he's ever planning to sell the company. I also want to make the distinction that it comes to assets. You can, if it, when it comes to assets, you can break them down into two main categories. So if you have, so those two categories are income producing assets and non-income producing assets. If I go back and circle around to taking my average person, write an asset can be anything that helps you make money. So let's say you drive to a job and you drive a car to commute to work, and you can say that your car is an income producing asset because of that you're eventually reaching your destination where you're working, and because of that it helps you eventually get paid. So, and maybe you can fight on me that I don't know it, it I think it's a simple way to look at it, and another example would be if you're working from home and if you have a computer and with an internet connection, that's how the modern world is when you're working from home. So at least you know that the computer itself would be an asset. If you use it to create income by working on the computer, then it's an income producing asset. So for examples of non-income producing assets would be like straight up cash, or you could say that it would be someone's clothes. Someone's clothes could be non-income producing asset, in that sense that eventually if you can trade it for cash, I believe you consider cash as an asset. So that's one of the assets, that's one of the items in the balance sheet which comes under assets. So I believe that you consider it an asset because if you can trade for cash, then trade it for cash, and then you can use that either to buy an income producing asset or just have it sit in the bank, in the savings bank, and so that counts as a asset or a piece of cash, or you might get interest from it, so that could add up to your income if you put in the savings, if you put in the savings account. And so that's going up, so that would bring up your net worth. So basically those are the ways, different kind of ways where you can think about assets when it comes to a particular balance sheet. They have cash and cash equivalents on the balance sheet. Also show that like items like short-term investments and long-term investments. So short-term investments will show the things like marketable securities, but you know that it's an everyday person. It's less like an everyday person can go out and buy stocks of a business. For example, Warren Buffett, he's one of the greatest stock dealer of all time, and he buys stock through his own company, his own corporation, which is called Berkshire Hathaway, and that he uses their cash to buy stocks. So if you start to think of the balance sheet in that way, it's simply what people own and what they owned and what the corporation owns, and either it has value, even if it has a value or a value of exchange in exchange value, or it creates income in some or the other way, that it's most legally likely going to be in the balance sheet. So the next thing I wanted to go over when it comes to balance sheet is, we talked about the assets, that's most important, and the next is balance sheet, the next is liabilities, and something again that I think gets lost, and this is something not even beginners might understand, the complexity or the implications that this has by belief a lot of. I believe a lot of investors who initially have good results in belief. I believe a lot of investors who are very aggressive, they'll truly understand how that can be crippled as a business, and how much that really tells you about the health of the business. And by which I'm trying to say that when I say health, I'm really talking about the long-term health. And you know, it's easy to say that business is healthy when things are going well and when the economy is booming, while every business is doing well. No, I mean, when every other company is doing well in the industry, and if even you're growing with them, that doesn't mean you are progressing, right? So you'll only know when you're actually progressing is when things kind of tighten up the belt and tighten up the expenses, and you need to cut down the earnings, your profits are going down, and you need to lay off some employees, and your profits are going down, people are not the balls of all sorts of things. That's when you'll actually know when you start to see who really has a strong business, who really has the healthy financials, and who has a solid foundation versus who doesn't. So that's how you basically determine which company is strong, not by looking at their balance. I mean, you'll know by looking at their balance sheet, but not just by looking at their balance sheet, or not by just by looking at their financial statements or P&L statement. You would know that what the company is worth. You would actually have to see each and every step of the balance sheet and each and every liability and each and every asset. So if that's the only way you can actually determine how good the company is progressing. So so I kind of broke it down. I mean, I use this hypothetical example. So I wouldn't get the exact numbers because it's really going to be hard to follow that in the podcast, but I can give you some random number, right? So I took like an average return on equity would be around 15%, and then using that I used to calculate the earnings number, and then I looked on at the debt to equity, and I tried to show that the high debt to equity will actually make it hard for the business and retain any sorts of profit, so a company would make more profits, and then will have various options that they can use those profits. But you know, if you have a lot of debt and you're having to make a lot of debt payments instead of being able to give back money to the shareholders or the owners, instead of being able to reinvest in the business, instead of being able to pay off that, they actually have to use their earnings to just make their debt payments, and that's going to be really crippled. If you think about it, it's really that crippled. It is really that crippled in the long term health of the business, because it's not going to have the ability to grow earnings like a business who has that a little debt. So let's compare two different businesses. So one business has a lot of debt with high debt payments, and they might make a lot of earnings with a 75% of its, so they might only have a lot of earnings. So with the 75% of the earnings are going back to pay off the debt to 25% of their earnings. To really use and to compound and use and you know use to buy more assets. We can make the profits on. And the flip side, when you look at the company who might have a super strong earnings at the outside, but if they have little knots of that, they can basically cash flow all the profits. So let's say they're reinvesting 90% of their profits back in the business, while you're almost so basically they're almost doubling the amount of business every year. So you can keep the same amount of return on equity, and you're buying new income producing assets. So you can really start to see some accelerated growth and really see some compounding work, and it's magic within a company when you have such low debt levels. So there's a couple of ways you can calculate the debt of equity. For example, I use a long-term debt to equity. I found something as small as like a 2.0 long-term debt to equity. And which meant that if you look at an average 5% interest rate of a business loan, and you can do all this from your own, but with like a business loan calculator, and then you can do hypothetical amounts in the end, like a 5% interest rate basically. So I found out if someone has an average of a return equity, they have a lot of long-term debt, debt to equity at 2.0, and they're not going to make enough in earnings and to even pay their monthly payments on their own. So that's a problematic situation, and obviously they're not able to sustain in the growth of businesses. And I don't know how you got growth from that, but so looking at the balance sheet, it can really help you not only to say if it's a perfect measure, but I can think if you stack all the odds in your favor, you put all the best cards in your hand, then by buying back these stocks within the balance sheet, I have a little amount of that, and I think that it really prepares you for over the long term. And you might not see it in the year, or you might not see it in a couple of years, but over the long term, a company with a lower debt will probably have higher ability to compound their earnings, ability to really maintain a higher amount of retained earnings, and that can that can do high things for the stock price, for the earnings of growth of the business, and all sorts of things for very, very long term. And I don't really see it talked about a lot. So I know I always focus on very risky, and I'm at least a bankruptcy, and no one wants to hear that, right? No one wants to hear a bankruptcy. So let's talk about the other side of the stuff, like growth, and understand what then the same way that you can get triple the business when struggling, it and can really hinder growth when a company is doing well, because it just makes sense if you just as a quick aside, if you look at the accounting tax rules on the ways that the ways I have to make the payments on their loans. So they have the interest expense. So the interest part is able to be taken off of the P&L, but the principal part that they're paying off the debt has to come out of the earnings. So essentially what that means is, I've been talking up to now, that a company has a lot of debt. So if they're making high debt payments, and that's lowering their overall profitability, so you want to talk more about growth, and I want to be in a business with low debt levels, because those will have higher amounts of reinvestment available to potentially grow much faster and much more better scale over the long term, and you won't see that from year to year. I know I've combined the liabilities and the shareholder equity section, but that's how it's supposed to be. So it's interlinked. So like I said, so assets is equal to liabilities minus shareholder equity. So shareholders and shareholder's equity and liabilities have to be put together in order to explain what assets is, and that's how the assets and the liabilities will balance, and that's how the justification comes. That is called balance sheet, because it's balancing. So hope you enjoyed our overview. And if you have any other questions about the balance sheet, please reach out to us and let us know if you have to give. Let us know if you have anything more to share with us, or if you want us to share anything more from about the balance sheets. And if you need more guidance on that, there's so much help that you can dig in onto all the different aspects of financial statements. So when you're working at a company in this is just kind of an overview of the balance sheet. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and sign off, you guys, and have a great week ahead out there. Thank you again. Thank you. Bye.